It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, if you bleed blue and white, you got to drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith, and we're into part two of our draft recap of the Penn State players. It was a big weekend for a lot of them getting drafted. We went over Etor Gross-Matos, KJ Hamler, and John Reed last segment. Let's pick up from there where we left off. Next up was Cam Brown, who was drafted in round six by the Giants. Old friend Sean Spencer is now on that coaching staff. Wonder how much influence he had on this pick. Cam Brown, he's kind of an interesting guy there, Dustin. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you look back, just the backstory for him arriving, you know, he was a Friends three-star, four-star guy from the state of Maryland. You know, with that 6'5 frame, he looked like he could be a defensive end or a linebacker. I really believed he was a defensive end all along, but James Franklin really stuck to his guns in developing Cam Brown and getting him to the, helping him get to this point. He developed over time to really, you know, to thrive in that role at linebacker, and he's uniquely built for it. And I think he's uniquely built for the NFL because of it. And I think the intrigue over his frame and his skill set is what got him in the draft in the first place. So he goes number 183 overall to the Giants. Sean Spencer is there. Saquon Barkley and Grant Haley are there. One of the first things he did after getting drafted was send out a tweet that says, "What's up, old heads, Saquon and Grant Haley?" Because they are so old, Jim. They are really, they're over the hill, those two. But there's a lot to like from his body standpoint. You know, you can kind of imagine him being in some unique roles. That length and space will be interesting. Athleticism. He played with a physical edge to him. I don't know if you had to circle one thing and say, hey, that's his strength. I don't know what I would circle exactly, but he's got a lot of film. You know, he played 4 years. He played as a true freshman. If you remember, he looked like a fish out of water sometimes as a true freshman, but they needed him to play. So he did develop well at the linebacker spot over time. You saw him. He was a little bit of a Swiss Army knife type player the last year or two, where Penn State put him in a lot of positions. And I thought he held his ground in a lot of ways. So New York sees the potential in him. He'll require some development. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a mandate for him to add even more weight to his frame, which was an uphill battle, I think, at times at Penn State. So if you can see him getting into that 240, 250 range, now we're in business with him. So his development will be interesting to watch.
Yeah, and I think, though, his calling card definitely is that length. And as they say, that's not something you can coach. So the last player that was drafted from the Penn State roster was also round number six, was Robert Windsor to the Indianapolis Colts. Now, I love his story. He's out of Wisconsin, and he was literally the bottom-rated player, I believe, from his recruiting class at Penn State. So this isn't a guy who just walks on the field and uses his God-given gifts. He had to work himself to get to this point where he was actually drafted. It's a story that I like, Dustin.
Yeah, and I think that's a feather in Penn State's cap when it comes down to it. This is a guy from Wisconsin, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, that Penn State was higher on than the in-state Badgers were, and didn't have a Wisconsin offer until late in the recruiting cycle, his senior year. I don't know what Wisconsin was waiting for. Didn't play a high level of football, and I think sometimes that clouds the judgment of trying to interpret what you see. But he's always been a guy who's just thrown offensive linemen around. I don't know, you know, it's almost like the ESPN broadcast, whoever it was, said he's like a bull in a china shop. That sounds about right. I think it's at times it's more of like a he plays with like a blind rage. You're not looking at a true tactician at the position, but you know, I think he's big enough and quick enough and those core qualities are there, that maybe he can get the job done at the next level. In the sixth round at number 193 overall, staying in the Midwest, a place where he's, you know, he's comfortable in Big Ten country in Indianapolis, it seems to be a good fit. They're going to have to, this is just my estimation, they're going to have to really hammer down on the finer points of his technique. He was able to get by without using his hands all that much. He was able to just kind of crash through the line of scrimmage because he's so big and strong and quick. There's going to be a lot of guys who are big and strong and quick at the next level. He's going to have to learn how to out-leverage some of those players. So there's going to be some work to do, but that comes with the territory as a sixth-round pick. Windsor's got a shot to get it done. You know, his motor, the way that he plays, the quickness, the power, he's got a lot of good stuff working in his favor.
And to go from where he was as an incoming freshman to get to this point, you know, the guy's willing to work, can make improvements to his game. So I like that pick too. I like that story, and we definitely hope that he can make his mark in the NFL. All right, that's it for the guys who were drafted, but there were a whole bunch of undrafted free agents and a lot of interesting stories here. Dustin, I'm actually going to let you start. Where do you want to go as far as the undrafted free agents? I'm not sure we could really go in depth on all of them. Who's the one of the more interesting ones on your list?
Well, let me start with Tommy Stevens as another drafted guy. He'll fall under the Penn State umbrella going to New Orleans. He was a seventh-round pick. And the connection there is obvious. And you have seen really a lot of NFL teams try to capture what the Saints have been doing with Taysom Hill, who was a quarterback at BYU that they've used in a variety of ways and try to pose a different and multifaceted threat on opposing defenses. The Eagles really made a big splash by drafting Jalen Hurts in the second round. That's probably a different story for a different day.
Well,
bring that up with Greg.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let me interrupt you there. It is another story, and it will be brought up later in the week when I talk to Greg Pickle. He has plenty to say about it, but go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, so a lot of teams are in pursuit. It's a copycat league. You hear that all the time. The Saints have really laid the framework for having this, you know, a big athletic quarterback who's willing to do whatever, runner, receiver, special teams, you know, gadget plays. He poses a threat in a lot of different ways. So Stevens is going to the original, using the quarterback as a weapon with Taysom Hill. There are similarities there. You know, Taysom Hill coming out of BYU was not a very accomplished passer. You know, he played more of the position than Tommy Stevens did. But Taysom Hill right now is listed at 6'2" and 221 pounds. Tommy Stevens is 6'5" and 235. Physically, athletically, he's right on the same plane, I believe, as Taysom Hill. He wasn't an accomplished guy. You know, everybody knows the story by now. Trying to stick it out, waited for that one shot at Penn State. That one shot was in question. So he went to Mississippi State. He had a hard time staying healthy. He didn't hold on to the starting job there. But athletically, he's an interesting guy, and maybe the Saints are trying to groom the next Taysom Hill to come in there before they have to pay the current Taysom Hill. That's usually how these things work in the NFL. Let's try to get a plan in place before we have to pay somebody.
Well, and then interesting, didn't they also bring in Jameis Winston?
They did. They did.
So that's an interesting quarterback room there, isn't it?
It's a cast of characters, Drew Brees the whole way down to these guys. And it is interesting, you know, and I'll let Greg touch on Jalen Hurts. But if you can get contributions out of your backup quarterback, have them mostly focus on playing quarterback, so you got a shot if you need a backup or if you need to develop a quarterback for down the road, you know, it's a way to use this roster spot without just developing him behind the scenes. So it'll be interesting. You know, Tommy Stevens has to fight uphill against the odds to make this team and all that. But athletically, he's got that. He's got the possibility. As far as Penn State's undrafted guys, I'll just recap them real quick. Steven Gonzalez going to Arizona, Blake Gillikin to New Orleans, Jan Johnson to the Houston Texans, Garrett Taylor to Buffalo, Nick Bowers to the Raiders, Dan Chisena to the Vikings. The three guys who really stand out to me, Steven Gonzalez with that size and power, You know, I think there's a possibility for him to be drafted. He's not a special athlete or anything like that, but he played a lot of football at Penn State, and he played at a pretty high level. So he's got the experience. I think he's got the attitude and the size and the strength to maybe do some things behind the scenes. It's not that uncommon for an undrafted offensive lineman to develop into something that, and stick around in the league. Blake Gillikin to New Orleans, you're not seeing a lot of punters drafted, so he's got a shot. His consistency, and I think he's shown that he can get that job done. How about Nick Bowers to the Raiders? You know, I think his size, speed profile is NFL caliber. And, you know, you've again seen a lot of tight ends play in the NFL at a higher level than they did in college. You've seen college basketball players make it as NFL tight ends. So just because Nick Bowers didn't play a ton of football, he had the injury and all that, doesn't mean he can't make a roster in the NFL. You know, really, all these guys bring a little something to the table that you think they have a shot. So they'll be fun to watch, six of them in all.
Well, you know, I had highlighted Nick Bowers for many of the things that you pointed out, but especially the fact that he was hurt so often, and it took till his last season, and he had Pat Freiermuth in front of him. So it was tough for him to get too many looks, but I think he has a chance. The other one you didn't go into too much was Chisna going to the Vikings. He's a guy who could make it as a special teams guy, and he's an interesting athlete. So I think he has a chance of sticking, you know, especially with the special team skills. And as you said about punters, but I don't know what the punting situation is in New Orleans, but I looked at Blake Gillikin as an NFL punter, Dustin.
And he'll be on that. We've seen this with Sam Fickett as a place kicker. You know, there's a short list of, even if you don't hold down a job, there's a short list of, hey, we need a punter, let's explore that guys go on. I think Blake Gillikin at the very least will be on that short list. Teams will give him opportunities until eventually he sticks, kind of like Sam Fickett did. Jan Johnson, the Texans, Garrett Taylor, Buffalo, we'll have to watch these guys, but raw physical attributes, you know, as you mentioned with Nick Bowers, as we talked about with Steven Gonzalez, are the things that teams are looking for. Dan Jacena, you know, that speed, he's still got a ways to go developmentally. It wouldn't be a surprise to see him develop into a gunner or something like that down the road for the Vikings. He's got the size and speed to do that. All in all, I think a good draft for Penn State. Not a lot of high expectations given the crop of guys who are going in. Maybe next year will be a little bit different. That's something we'll get into in a couple quarters. For now, we'll take a quick break. Quotes from Landon Tengwall is coming up right after this.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma or the crisp, clean finish. That all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
This is Jim Galante with the Keystone Sports Network. We know there are a lot more important things going on than whether there are any sports. But we'd like to give you a little break from everything else happening in our world with some Penn State football talk. College football will come back. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the Keystone Kickoff Show. Find all our shows at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the app Keystone Sports. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.